Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. Pastor David Langford here today, and we greet you in the most holy name of our risen Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. I trust today that your day has already been immensely blessed by the power and by the presence of our Lord and our Savior, Christ Jesus. What a joy it is to be a blood-bought, born-again child of God, washed in His precious blood and sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen. Paul said in Ephesians 1 and 13, "And whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise." Aren't you glad you're sealed by the Spirit of God? No man can break that seal but you. You can choose to walk away from God anytime you want to. Many people regrettably do that. I did that as a teenager, walked away from God. But I'm so glad He didn't leave me in my sins, but He came to where I was and brought me out and restored my life. Amen. I do want to make mention a time or two here, but starting last week, March the 9th, we began our TV ministry with Christian Television Network. Christian Television Network, that's channel 376 on Direct Television. It is channel 267 on Dish Network. We're on at 10 p.m. Tuesday nights and 3 p.m. Saturday afternoon. We're trusting, believing God for greater things. God knows our heart. We'll preach uncompromisingly to the audience. Whoever, whatever audience it might be, we will not compromise in preaching the Word of God. But we do want to make mention of that again. Direct Television, channel 376, Dish Network, channel 267, and of course that's Christian Television Network, CTN, out of Florida. I do want to make mention again of the taping we did about 2 weeks or so ago. It's probably up by now. You may have seen the first portion of myself and Daryl Turner. And Brother Turner does a tremendous, tremendous job. You will want to see that video, that taping, because there's a lot of things he said there that are very profound. I didn't know until he shared it while we were taping, but he had been telling everyone Trump would not be reelected. I didn't know he had said that. I didn't know he was preaching that, though he, like many of us, and myself included, was praying that Trump would be reelected. But he said in his heart, God had showed him it wouldn't happen. Why? He said God was going to use the next administration to bring judgment on this nation, some measure of judgment. That is serious, folks. That is serious. And rightfully so. I've been praying for judgment. I told you I'm praying for that. Because Isaiah 26, verse 9, "When thy judgments are in the earth, then the inhabitants of the world will learn righteousness." Not until the judgments of God are in the earth will the world learn righteousness. One other footnote today. The television programs will be put up on the website the week after they have aired on television. We're going to put those up the week following. We do covet your prayers. We thank you so much for your prayers. We thank you so much for your support. It's all about winning souls into the kingdom of God. Anything less, the purpose, the intent is not right. It's all about winning souls to Christ our Lord. That's why He died. That's why He came. He didn't come to make people rich, wealthy, and famous. He came to redeem men from sin. Anything else that's preached or advocated, for the most part, has nothing to do with why Christ gave his life, his vicarious death, for us, that we might be redeemed. I want to play an upbeat song today by a group called The Guardians. It's entitled, I Wish I Could Tell You. The Guardians, I Wish I Could Tell You. I pray it will bless you immensely today.
I found my deliverance at an altar of prayer. I knelt down and left all my burdens there. His blood washed me white as snow. I wish I could tell you. I came up shouting with a new desire. From my head to my toes, I felt holy fire. It was joy unspeakable. Oh, I wish I could tell you.
I wish I could tell you all about God's glory. I wish I could tell you, but you gotta live the story. My power is love, His mercy and grace. I'll tell you how the Savior died to take my place. But I can't explain it. I can't describe it. Lord knows I can't deny it.
All I know is every word is true.
And I wish I could tell.
To the very end, He's closer than a brother. Oh, I wish I could tell you.
I wish I could tell you.
When the valley got low, when the mountain got high, He gave me a reason to testify. I can't live without Him. Oh, I wish I could tell you.
He's more than kin, Alpha and Omega, beginning and end.
There's no one like him. Oh, I wish I could tell you.
I wish I could tell you. Savior, deliverer, redeemer, and friend. There is none above him, and there's never been.
I can't live without him. Oh, I wish I could tell you.
Praise God, if you have a testimony, you can tell it. If you don't have a testimony, you have nothing to tell. You have to have a test before you can have the testimony. Hope you enjoyed that song today. We're going to pick back up where we left off yesterday. We're talking about preparing for the darkness. Christ Jesus is the only one who has ever been able to deliver us from the power of darkness and the shadow of death. It is imperative that in this nefarious hour, each of us put our trust in Jesus, the Lord's Christ. There is salvation or deliverance and none other. Peter said that in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Jesus alone is the Savior. No man, no man is your Savior but Jesus alone. And you have to trust in Him. I said, you have to trust in Him. Psalm 7:1, in Thee, O Lord God, do I put my trust. There's only one person you can truly, truly trust. That is Christ. David said in Psalms 56, verse 3, what time I am afraid, I will trust in Thee. Some of you today, you may be afraid. While you're afraid, who are you going to trust? Who are you going to believe? Who are you going to look to help you, to succor you, to keep you? Only Christ can do that. Christ alone. He is our Lord. He is our Savior. He is our Redeemer. He is our Healer. Christ alone is everything for each and every one of us. We're coming into a state, a place of time when there's no one you can truly, truly, truly trust but Christ. Christ is the only one that we will be able to trust in. You say, well, I'm going to trust in so-and-so. You got to trust in the Lord. Psalms 118, verse 8, it is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in men. You must put your trust in Christ Jesus alone. None other. Well, I'm going to trust the government to get me out of this debacle. You're going to witness as our government fails us repeatedly. I said, our government is going to fail us repeatedly. They're going to let us down. Why? Because they are men. They are but flesh. Regrettably, they are terribly, terribly corrupt. And when you put your faith, you put your trust in the arm of the flesh, you're going to soon find out, I have made a grievous, grievous mistake. I said yesterday, we're getting ready to enter into some very turbulent waters. We're going to enter into some time of great inflationary pressure. You're going to suddenly watch things become uncertain. If you're not careful, you may become afraid. You may become fearful. You may look at everything and, like Peter, you get your eye on the storm, you get your eye on the tempest, and you get your eyes off of Jesus Christ. And you see the briny waves as they're dashing and breaking against your ship. And you feel discouraged, and you feel beleaguered, and you feel abandoned. You may even feel forsaken. But remember, Christ will not leave you, nor will He forsake you. Why? When Christ redeems anyone, He is a present help. He doesn't have to come. He's already there. I love the words of the Apostle Paul when Paul is talking about God. He's talking about God. He's talking about His deity. He said, He's not far from any of us. Isn't that profound that God is not far from any of us? He's right there. Acts 17:27, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. He is not far from every one of us. I don't want to get into dimensions and portals and things of that nature, but God is not far from any of us, Paul said. And it's amazing, he uses the phraseology, feel after Him. It's as though men are blind, they're in darkness, and they're groping, and they're trying to feel after God. But Paul said, don't fear. He's not far from any of us. Isn't that beautiful? Chapter 17, verse 27. And then the great, renowned Psalm. In Psalm 23, verses 4 and 5, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. You see, we're going to walk in the not too far distant future. We're going to walk through the valley. Now, I want to emphasize the word through. We're not staying in the valley. We're not going to camp out and live in the valley. We're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Do you hear me? I said, you're going to walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You're going to get through this. I'm going to get through this. If you keep your faith in Jesus, if you keep your faith in what Christ accomplished on the cross, you will walk through this valley. Some valleys are deep, some valleys are long, some valleys are narrow, but they're valleys. And you see, David said, though I walk through this, I'm going to walk through this valley, he said, I will fear no evil. Why was David able to say, I will fear no evil? He said, thou art with me. God is going to be with us in the darkness. And he said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. It's a type of the word of God, the rod, the staff. It is a type of the Paracletos, the Holy Ghost, who comes along to give aid, assistance, to guide, to steer, to direct us. Romans 8, 14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. God's going to lead us through this valley. While we're in the valley, he said, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Satan is going to witness divine provision for the people of God while we're going through this valley. When you start into the valley, God's going to prepare a table. But you keep moving on. You get a third of the way through the valley. God spreads another banquet table. You feast, you dine with the master. You get two-thirds through the valley. God's going to prepare another table in the presence of our enemies. Then we get to the end of the valley. And there God will prepare another table. And he will prepare this table. And it will always be in the presence of our enemies. And last but not least, a type of the Holy Ghost. Thou anointest my head with oil. See, that's a type of the Holy Spirit. Not only is that a type of the Holy Spirit, but it's a type of the Holy Spirit when he said, my cup runneth over. What is running out of David's cup? Is it a literal cup? No. It is a spiritual cup. It is a cup that is filled with the Holy Spirit. It's as though we have a spiritual cup within us. My cup runneth over. John 7:38. He that believeth in me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. It's going to run out. My cup runneth over. It's the Holy Spirit that David speaks of here. The anointing. Remember, I've always taught you, the anointing is the Holy Ghost. Luke 4:18, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he hath anointed me. The Holy Ghost is the anointing. Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. The anointing is the Holy Ghost. David said, thou anointest my head with oil. Let's be realistic. Olive oil in itself has no power. Again, that is symbolic. Anointing the head with oil. when Samuel brought the cruse of oil and he poured it on David's head. When they poured the oil on the head of Aaron, it ran down his beard. It ran all the way down. It was a type of the Holy Spirit of God. When God anoints our head, it's the Holy Ghost. When our cup is running over, it is the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Spirit of God. Listen, just because you're in a valley doesn't mean it's dry, it's lifeless, it's listless, it's dead. No, the Holy Spirit is life. The Spirit quickens. I said the Spirit quickens us. But you must have that when you go through the valley. And we're going to go through this thing. Just like Israel went through the Exodus. It was not just enough to get out of Egypt, but they had to go through the wilderness. But you see, they fell and they died in the wilderness because they turned back, they tempted God, and they limited the Holy One of Israel. Psalm 78:39, he remembered they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they grieve him in the desert and did provoke him in the wilderness? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. Can you imagine putting limits on God? But that's what they did as a people. They put a limit on God. It's like you go to buy something, you go to purchase something, and they say, well, there's a limit on that. You can only have one, you can only have two, the limit is this or that. They put a limit on the power, the deity, and the majesty of Almighty God. That bell you hear in the background is a clock I have in my office. So if you heard that bell, that's what that is. That's my clock. We limit God. Every one of us, if we are honest, we've limited God in some capacity. See? Now, I'm talking about preparing for the darkness. Now, let me say this. You're going to witness both spiritual and physical, literal darkness. Both. Just like with Israel, when God sent the plague of darkness, there was light in all the dwellings of Israel. Isaiah 42, verse 7, to open the blind eyes, to bring out the prisoners from the prison, and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. You see, during this time that's going to come into this nation and around the world, there's going to be those who will have a spiritual awakening. Not all will remain and sit in the darkness. Because why? Isaiah 42:7. He will open blind eyes. He's not talking about physical eyes here. He's talking about spiritual blindness. Bring out the prisoners from the prison and them that sit in darkness out of the prison house. Did you know when you were a sinner, you were in prison and you were in darkness? Now, you didn't believe that. You didn't think that, but you were. And all Satan was waiting was for an opportunistic time to take you out while you're in the darkness. But God was merciful. And God did not suffer, God did not allow, God did not tolerate the enemy to take you out while you were in a state and a place of darkness. And for that, you should be extremely thankful and grateful that God was merciful to you, a sinner. You know, when I get down to pray, I thank God so much. I just thank God so much because of what God did for me. The older I get, I understand the brevity of life. And I think about those years that were wasted in sin. The embodiment, the personification of carnality, wretchedness, sinfulness, wickedness. Some of you listening to me, you can relate exactly to what I'm saying. Your lifestyle was just that. It was wicked. You say, well, I wasn't that bad. Well, you were. You just didn't realize it. And the closer one gets to God, the greater they understand the mercy that God extended, the mercy that God showed us. And how much mercy? Mountains of grace and oceans of mercy he gave us. You say, well, I wasn't that bad. If you're lost, you're lost. I said, if you're lost, you're lost. Well, it wasn't that bad. If you're lost, you are utterly, totally, emphatically lost. I was backslidden, but I was lost. Oh, I knew what was right. You can't be touched by the hand of God and ever get away from it. That's one of the great things. When God ever touches you, you're never again the same. You can do everything in the world, but if you've ever been touched by the Master, you are never, ever, ever, ever again the same. You can try to substitute it. You can try to get another job, another spouse, another husband, another wife, another job. You can try to do all of this stuff. But once Christ has ever touched your life, you're never the same. Once he has brought us out of the darkness, Peter said, into the marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light. My God, he brought us out of the darkness. That ought to make you want to praise and shout and magnify God every day of your life because what he did for you while you were in utter, total darkness, my friend. You didn't know where you were. You were so deep in sin. He said, you're a chosen generation. This was early on in this teaching. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood. Revelation 1:6, he hath made us kings and priests. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. It means you are a purchased person. He purchased you through his shed blood. A peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. When God saves us, he now allows us to walk in the same light that he's in, because he is light. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. You see, as you walk in the light, you stay clean. I said you stay clean as you constantly, consistently walk in the light. We don't understand the dichotomy of the darkness and the light. Colossians 1 verses 13 and 14, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Now, I want to take a moment there. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? Can I tell you that darkness has great power? I shared it with you again in the 11th chapter of the book of Exodus. I want to go back there for just a moment. I want to show you the power of darkness. We haven't got into all the meat of the darkness. We'll get in there when we get into the book of Jude and other books in the Bible talking about the midst of darkness, M-I-S-T, mist of darkness, chains of darkness, all kinds of darkness. Exodus 10, 23. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days. Nobody rose up. They were afraid to move. Why? Because of the power of the darkness. I've been in a couple caves in my time. I went through a tunnel somewhere, I believe it's Murfreesboro, Tennessee, on a train. And there's a huge, long tunnel that's carved through a mountain. You get in the middle of that tunnel, it is so pitch black, dark, it is unfathomable. You dare not move. This is what Paul said here in Colossians 1 and 13, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. You wonder why Washington, D.C. is in the condition that is in. It is because of the power of darkness. You wonder why people act and behave and say and do things that are asinine and cynical and wicked and vile. That is the power of darkness. It dictates, it controls, it manipulates. It is the power of darkness. But Paul said, Christ hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son. We've been translated. That's similar to metamorphosis. But you've been translated from this place of darkness now into the marvelous light. You can't do it on your own. I said, you can't do this on your own. It takes the Holy Ghost to pull you out of that darkness into the marvelous light. That's why I have such great sorrow when I hear people think that they do something concerning their salvation. What can you do that can translate you into the kingdom of God out of the darkness? What can you do to do that? Tell me. Nothing. Yet people will tell you, oh, you do this, you're saved. You do that, you're saved. Now, if you go over here and you do this, you're saved. You actually think you have the ability in yourself, your works, your deeds, to translate yourself from this spiritual, wicked darkness into this glorious light of Christ. You think you can do that? You're deceived if you believe that much. That might be 1/64th, 1/32nd. It ain't much. There's nothing you can do except believe. And how is all of this able to transpire? How is this translation able to take place? Through his blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. It is the blood that invokes the translation, translates us from the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear Son. Think about this. You're in a kingdom. We all live in a kingdom. Do you live in Satan's kingdom or do you live in God's kingdom? Whose kingdom do you live in? He's the prince of the power of the air. He has a kingdom. It's a kingdom of darkness. God is a kingdom of light. And something has to translate us from this dark, dark kingdom into this glorious light of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. And it is only possible through the blood of the Lamb and nothing else. I'm telling you, hallelujah, the power is in the blood of Jesus Christ. It atones, it cleanses, it washes, it makes us absolutely whole in our entirety. The blood of Jesus, the Lord's Christ, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness. Delivered. What does that mean exactly in the Greek? Christ has rescued us from the darkness and from the abyss. The abyss. There is an abyss between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The rich man was in hell. And Abraham says there's a great abyss, a great gulf. He used the word gulf there in the book of Luke. Same word, gulf, abyss, a great expanse. That's why the two don't mingle. You can't mix light with darkness. It's impossible. It won't happen. That's the trickery, the chicanery of the modern-day church. Well, you can have a little bit of darkness. You can have a little bit of gray. No, you can't. The church, the body of Christ, will be pure, without spot, without wrinkle, without blemish. We've been translated from the darkness to the light. And the only way to find redemption from this darkness, the only way to be forgiven of our sins, is through the precious, precious blood of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. You say, well, I don't believe that. You got to do a little bit more than that. Boy, that bothers me. You have no idea how that grieves me and bothers my spirit to think that the blood is not quite enough. You got to do just a little bit more. Just a little bit more. So Christ's blood covered 98%, but that other 2%, you have to do it. Boy, that just bothers me to no end. Just like Israel, America will walk in darkness even to the boundaries of the shadow of death if we continue to reject Jesus Christ as our Lord and as our Savior. You cannot reject the Savior, the one who rescues us. If you're in an ocean or a sea, and you're floundering and you're about to drown, and someone comes to rescue you from the sea, do you cast them off? Do you spurn them? Do you reject them? No, because they have the power, the wherewithal to save you. You know, you've seen some of those documentaries or videos where these Coast Guard helicopters are rescuing these people out of boisterous, tempestuous sea waves and all of that stuff. A man that's drowning is not going to say, go on, leave me alone. Send me a life preserver. Jesus is your life preserver. I said Jesus is your life preserver. He is your flotation device. He is the means and the method and the mode that translates us into the kingdom of his dear Son. God suffered this through his Son, Jesus Christ. Man had no way to God. We don't understand redemption. We think we understand redemption. We think we're smart. We think we're intelligent. And God's infinite wisdom created a way for man to get back to him, and it was through his Son, Jesus Christ. Even Jesus, in his humanity, said, Father, if at all possible, let this cup pass from me. In other words, if there's another way, another means, another mode, another method. But we should be so grateful. We should be so thankful that Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Thy will, Lord. I want thy will to be done. You see, the will of God was for Jesus to atone for sin. Jesus satisfied God's demand for sin. He paid sin's debt, 2 Corinthians 5:21, for he hath made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Think about that. He hath made Christ to be sin. He was not a sinner, but he took on our sins. He hath made him to be sin. Why? That you and I, who were sinners, can now be made the righteousness of God through him. That's why I get so upset When people think anything besides the blood atones for sin. You're out of your mind. You've been misled. You've been duped. You've been deceived. You've been manipulated. It's not true. Jesus paid sin's debt on the cross. 1 John 2:1. My little children, these things are right unto you that you sin not. If any man sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins. That word propitiation means he paid sin's debt. He became the vicarious substitution for the sin. Jesus did all of that. There was never an animal. See, even the animals in the Old Testament, they were tainted with sin. Though God said, I want you to bring me a spotless lamb. I want it to be without spot. Or the heifer, to consume it and to burn it and to get the ashes for the purification of the temple. But see, at the end of the day, that calf, that cow, that lamb, all of them had a sin nature. It was passed on. Jesus did not have a sin nature. It was not in his blood. It was not in his makeup. It did not exist. It was not there. Though he was as human as you and I, the sin nature did not exist because he was conceived through the Holy Ghost, through the Holy Spirit of God. Therefore, he was the perfect sacrifice. Perfect. You see, Elohim, God, the Father, demanded a perfect sacrifice. That was one of the things that Israel began to do there in the book of Malachi. They'd bring halt and maimed and blind and withered animals before God. So here, I'll give you this. This old lamb, it ain't worth nothing anyway. This bullock, it ain't worth nothing anyway. It's crippled, it's maimed, it's halt, it's blind, it's deaf, it can't hear. See, that's the church today. We bring God garbage. And then we say, bless it, Lord. Bless my garbage. You know, having pastored for 27 years, I didn't know there were so many ways to pay tithes. You know, people looking some way just to cheat God. When it says first fruits, that ain't what you bring home. It's what you made. But I met a couple one time that came to my church. That guy should have been a mathematical engineer and trying to connive and beat and find ways to not give God what was rightfully God. Did not Jesus say, you give unto Caesar what is Caesar's, you give unto God what is God's? Very simple. Do you pay taxes on what you bring home, or do you pay taxes on what you make? See, they had taxes back then. Matthew was a tax collector. Publican, not Republican, but publican. He was a tax collector. You say, well, they got the part. That's all I got left is what I bring home. See, you're cheating, you're depriving God of what is rightfully his. He said, give unto Caesar what is his. You pay a tax on what you make, not what you bring home. You say, but what I bring home is what I made. No, that's not true. You made more than that, but the government got their stinking rotten part. If the government was fair, they'd never take any more than what God asked for, 10%. But they're crooks. They're crooks. 9%, you ready for this? 9% of this $1.9 trillion goes to the people and actual COVID needs. Rest of it. Did you know we're sending money to China? We're sending hundreds of millions of dollars to Silicon Valley for a subway train. You don't think Silicon has enough money in the valley to take care of that? Sure they do. But see, our government is as crooked as a dog's hind leg. That's why we look at our government today. It is a government of darkness. Poor old Joe Biden. the other day in Houston, where am I? What am I doing here? Where am I? I'm going to lose track. And you expect me to believe? See, I'm not questioning the fraud of the election. You expect me to believe that that guy got the votes to become president? I don't bit more believe that than I'm standing on the moon right now talking to you, ministering the word of God to you. But this is because we're an evil nation, and this is why we've gotten what we've got. Corruption. We are watching corruption on a scale that's just, you know, unfathomable. And initially, you know, Trump said he didn't want another term. Now he's talking about, well, I think I might run in 2024. Who else but me? You know, when I think about God and his long-suffering, I think he asked the question at the CPAC conference, you miss me yet? You miss me yet? This darkness that I'm speaking of, you and I have a limited understanding of the darkness and the content of the darkness. We as human beings, we have a limited scope, a limited knowledge, and a limited understanding of the darkness. Now listen to me. Not only do we have a limited scope and understanding of the darkness, but what is in the darkness? If you're walking down a hall and it gets darker and darker and darker and darker, and when you get to the end of the hall, it is absolute utter darkness, but they say there's a table there and there's tools there and you can do this and you can do that, or there's food there. You don't know that, and you don't know the content of what is in the darkness because you're limited. You say, well, they told me. Well, they could have lied to you, couldn't they? Because it's all dark. See, it's utter darkness. So they could tell you on the table is a beautiful steak dinner, beautiful salad. But what's sitting there on the table is a very, very black leopard or panther. Let me say a black panther sitting there. You can't see him. But somebody told you, wait a minute, there's a nice, beautiful T-bone steak with the salad and all the hors d'oeuvres and all the good stuff is there, but you've walked down that hall till it's got pitch black dark and you can't see. So you don't know the content of the darkness, meaning you don't know what's in it. But see, God does. See, Daniel chapter 2, verse 2, he, Elohim, revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I don't care how black, dark it gets, God sees right into what's there. You know, the dentist pulls over the big light to shine in your mouth. The surgeon pulls over the big, big light over the operating table, the surgery table, to see what's in you, where he's going, what he's doing. God just looks and says, I see all of that filth. I see all of that. Even though it's dark, you think it's covered up, God says, I see every bit of that stuff. There's nothing there that is hidden from me. Nothing is there that I don't see. I see it all, God says. I see every bit of it, because I can see in the darkness. Because there is no darkness in me. I am nothing but light. Daniel said, he knoweth what is in the darkness. You see, we believe sometimes we have our sins hidden. God doesn't know what our sin is. He knoweth what is in the darkness. He knows what is there. Darkness cannot keep things secret or hidden from Christ because of the light that abides within him. Can you imagine New Jerusalem is 1,500 miles square? wide, long, and high, and deep. A city four square. And the Bible says the city has no need of light because the Lamb of God is the light. Now, I can't imagine that kind of light in my natural way of thinking. The darkness cannot hide what is in your life. God sees it. If there's anything dark in your life today, God sees it. 1 John 1:5, this then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. There is no darkness at all. There's no shadow. Remember James said, there's no shadow of turning. There's no variableness. It doesn't vary with God. A little bit light, a little overcast. You know, some days the sun's not really shining. It's a little overcast, so the brightness of the sunlight's not coming through. In Christ, there's nothing like that. There is no variableness. He doesn't vary, and neither is there any shadow of turning. And it was just because the earth rotates, now we go into a period called night, or I should say the sun. Excuse me, the earth, turning, and then we turn into darkness, and then 12 hours or so later, we turn into the light. In him there is no variableness, neither is there shadow of turning. That's the magnificence of God. In him is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. No man can have life in his personage except he have it, the light of Jesus Christ abiding in him. If you don't have the light, then you're not going to have what you need. This is the greatness of the light of Christ. In him was life. And the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. So the darkness cannot fathom. The darkness cannot grasp. The darkness can't even understand the light. Because when the light shineth into the darkness just suddenly disappears. The darkness just immediately, suddenly, it goes away. It just goes away. It's amazing how we can walk into a dark room. We turn on the light. The darkness, it's gone. Where did it go? It cannot comprehend the light. When the light comes on in you, he shines his light in on you. The darkness suddenly disappears. Where did it go? I don't know, but I'm glad about one thing. When the light shines, when the light appears, the darkness has to leave. We all should be grateful that Christ shined his light on our lives, in our lives, and the darkness just suddenly disappeared, went away. That's the greatness of being a sinner, backslider, whatever, and getting on one's knees, asking God to forgive us of our sins. We go down a sinner, we get up a saint. Who but God can do that? James 1:17. Every good and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. He doesn't vary. No matter how things turn, the light is always there. It doesn't vary. Well, it's 90% light. And it turns, it's 80%, 70%, and you get all the way to zero, and it's dark. That never happens. There's no variation in God. It's just always light. In closing today, let me encourage you. Pray. Work on your prayer life. Take the time to pray. You say, I don't feel like it sometimes. Neither do I. Join the club. There are times I go to pray. I'm not in the mood to pray. There are times I get down to pray. I may not even feel the Spirit of God. That's when I pray by faith. That's when I trust God for greater faith to go there and pray. Because I'm telling you, things are going to change. And I'm concerned about the gravity of the change. As I said yesterday, when I was praying yesterday morning, the scripture, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. There will be no time of refreshing until there is a time of repentance. And sadly, so many people that call themselves ministers and preachers, you know, all these guys want to be sensational. They are purveyors of conspiracy theories. They're saying this, they're saying that. Quit listening to these jacklegs. Find you a good Holy Spirit-filled man of God that preaches uncompromisingly. Listen to him. He's a real man of God. He will feed your soul, and he won't have his hand out all day long saying, gimme, 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 gimme. But use the power of Christ's name. See, I've learned this in the arena in which sometimes I regret I'm there. But these charlatans have learned Christians are great givers. One man said to me some months ago, said, you know, you could really make a big, big appeal for money and probably be surprised how much money people would send you if you made an appeal. I said, that's a crook and that's dishonest. If the voice of evangelism had a great, great, great need, and I'd hate to have to pray about that before I would ask. If God cannot supply the needs, I'm preaching, I'm serving the wrong man. But I've got faith in my God. He will not fail nor forsake any of us. God bless you. I'll see you Monday. Have a great week in the Lord.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.